Welcome to the latest edition of Homer Potts Happy Hour. You'll notice there is someone different doing the intros today because one of our members has decided to become like an 18-year-old student and go off into radio.
And thank God for that. Honestly, this is like teachers away. This is like the lunatics have taken over the asylum. We can do what we want.
Yeah.
We can, so it's all new.
We're just going to see how it goes.
Wherever he is, whichever part of Europe he's going, staying at some very expensive hotel. Hopefully he's having a nice time and he's listening, and we're going to talk about various other things. But before we do that, and we've got to talk about that in a minute, a fantastic Homer Potts welcome to the lovely Sheena Purcell, who've been waiting to get her on this for quite a few months now. We finally managed to get it through. So welcome, Sheena. How are we doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And I'm honoured. And thank you for that introduction. I feel like I have a lot to live up to after that.
I've only just met you, Sheena, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, in my 60s, I've been a friend with Alona for years and years.
Is that hard work?
Sometimes, but most of the time it's joyous.
Most of the time. She just takes the mickey out of me normally. But we met through our husbands.
Yeah.
So AJ and John are good friends and they have a mutual friend. That's how it started. Yeah. So I remember meeting Sheena for the first time. We were in a pub in Victoria Station, weren't we?
Yeah, we were.
And we went into the toilets and we realised straight away that we bonded quite well because we were slagging off somebody's girlfriend.
Yeah, Ruben's ex.
ex-wife in the end, wasn't it? So, and then since then, yeah, we've been friends. It must be nearly 30 years, maybe.
Easily, because I've been with John 30 years, so exactly
Yeah.
Can you imagine the amount of people you've slagged off in that time?
Oh, a fair amount, I would say.
Fair amount.
It'd be thousands.
Yeah. I'm not normally that bad.
I am.
No, but she might be. She leads me astray. Yeah.
What do you do, Sheena?
I'm a foot health professional, so I basically cut people's feet. I go to elderly's home and...
Is that like a chiropodist?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
But before that, she spent an awful long time as cabin crew.
Oh, yeah, I was a stewardess for BA.
Trolley dolly.
Trolley dolly.
Am I allowed to say that?
No, that's
I don't think you can.
That's sexist and demeaning.
I take that back.
No, 20 or 30 years ago, that's what we were. But nowadays, you're air cabin crew or... Yeah.
Yeah.
Have they given themselves fancier names?
They have, but their jobs are not as fancy.
You need them because the standard on BA is poor.
Oh, it's gone really. I know. It's really
sad. And what's happened with the alcohol? Now they just pour you a glass, don't they? With wine, you don't get the little bottles.
Can you not get second helpings these days?
Well, I think you'd have to really push for it,
don't
you?
And you can't even take like the joint of beef off first class anymore and go home and feed your family.
Why would you be taking a joint of roast beef on the plane?
Well, that's one of the perks of the job, surely.
Oh, you were nicking it?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
She's taking it on for the punters.
That's a superb doggy bag, isn't it? Nicking it off the plane and taking it home.
I know. I went home for a year. I lived down south, but I went home for a year to Edinburgh to my parents when I split up with one of my boyfriends. And they used to stand at the door when I walked through and they'd say, "What have we got today?" And I had all the...
You'd be very empty now, wouldn't
blankets.
You?
Blankets.
Yes, I would have nothing, not even a peanut.
They haven't even got the box of chocolates anymore. You can just go up the top and, you know, when you go to the toilet, you can come back and basically there's some chockies and you can help yourself and go and sit down again. Don't even do that anymore. So tight.
It's so tight. It's such a shame.
But anyway, we're digressing.
Yes, we are.
You would have heard a noise popping out every now and then, which is... That would be the noise from someone who's in his late 50s, who apparently has some sort of thing on his shoulder.
Yeah, they're called shoulder pals, right? And it's a kidult toy, so it's good for kids and adults, apparently, right? And mainly they're sort of Disney characters. I seem to have a crow on my shoulder and his eyes light up and he caws at will. And they're great, but you can get all sorts of different characters from different Disney shows, and they stick to your shoulder using like a magnet affair. They're not very secure. He topples off at the drop of a hat.
Why does only one eye light up?
Because he's neuroatypical.
Is that right?
He came to me that way. He's broken. I need to send him back to get one that works properly. But I quite
like him being a bit broken.
He's a quite nice one-eyed jackdaw.
How 2025 that he's a bit broken.
Exactly so.
You know, I love him. Even your shoulder pal's got a few issues.
I love him more for that reason. There we go. But I've walked around with him today, popping into sort of shops, getting a cup of tea and things like this. I went into the British Wildlife Centre, which is not a million miles from here. And I said, what do you think of my furry friend? And one of the keepers points at
security.
That sounds wrong on so many levels.
It's in my pocket.
One of the keepers
said, Jeffrey, back off now.
One of the keepers pointedly said to me, I think children would like that.
Oh dear.
I mean, I don't want to say too much because, of course, I will be accused of being the most enormous double standard man, seeing as I still adore 1960s puppet shows. However, yes. I am slightly concerned that a man of your age is walking around with a shoulder pal.
Well, I want all of us to get one.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, England expects.
Okay.
England
expects. On that note. Come on, we want Sheena to come back.
You've never been so pleased to be Scottish, have you?
Exactly. I think I'll move back up there.
So before we start, I need to go any further. Mm-hmm. It's on a personal level here. Mm-hmm. I need to wish happy birthday to my daughters.
Ah, yes, it is
Hannah's birthday today. She's 28. And it was Lucy's birthday on Monday. Banner. So happy birthday, girls. And
your baby.
So were they the youngest in their year or the oldest?
They were the oldest. One of the oldest.
You timed that so well.
I took 2 days apart.
Gosh.
Right at the start of the end of the football season, start of the cricket season, so I could go and play overseas in the winter. They say timing is everything,
really,
but I had it down to a fine art.
Didn't
nothing
you?
To do with Mrs. Simmons.
What a control freak!
All about fluke. I believe it's fluke.
Yeah, right.
I believe it is fluke. But yes, so happy birthday, girls!
Happy birthday,
because they
girls.
Do listen. And happy birthdays, and I hope you have lovely days. So, obviously, a very big celebrity snuffed it. Huge celebrity snuffed it.
Ooh.
Come on, girls.
Come on.
Who's
Robert.
Redford.
Robert Redford.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. A heartthrob.
I mean, he was nuclear grade good looking. Wasn't
gorgeous. Yeah, he was.
I mean,
absolutely.
Just used sex appeal.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
So,
out of Africa, that was my favourite.
Oh, he was
good. Would you have liked him to have washed your hair?
Oh, he could have washed anything. He could have picked my toenails.
Mind you, though, he would have been in your age demographic for the older shroppity stuff, wouldn't it?
That's
end.
True.
Because
no,
he was pretty old
was,
and pretty wrinkly at the end. But my God, he was good.
I love the one with Barbara Streisand. What's that?
We were.
Yeah,
oh,
that's a beautiful
gosh. Love there. Oh. Gorgeous.
He's a true Hollywood icon, wasn't he? You know, that you don't get so much these days. Didn't he set up the Sundance Film Festival?
Yes, he did.
And, like, you know, that's proper, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, giving something back to the film industry.
Oh, yeah, he was very he was very giving, I think, as you know, he's very sort of environmentalist.
I was going to say he was an environmentalist. Yeah, as well.
Was he married?
A couple of times. So no one is. But, I mean, how good looking have you got to be when Jane Fonda is absolutely all over you and you're not interested? What the fuck?
Oh, gosh.
Like, what man would you like, you know, dream woman of all time?
Yeah.
No, you're not interested, Robert. For fuck's sake, shape up, man.
He could just bat them
off. Proper idol, eh? Like, you don't get that anymore.
So would you, £1 million, night with Robert Redford?
Oh, God, yeah.
A pound, 50p. I'd give him £1 million.
I was going to say,
oh, my God.
Him.
Yeah, he's just.
He was a little bit older then, but he was still a good-looking man.
Yeah,
I always thought that was one of the. They just got the casting so wrong because I know he's stupidly good-looking and he's Robert Redford, but he's like £1 million. But most women like would do it for nothing.
Yeah,
if it was
so
all
true.
Of a sudden he has to do £1 million for Danny DeVito, that's a bit
that's
of a different,
different
thing,
yeah.
isn't it?
Mind you, his sense of humour, I would do it with him as well.
Just because he's a man
funny.
With a sense of
just
humour.
For the experience, yeah. I suppose. You know, yeah. I've done Danny DeVito.
Yeah, that scares me with your thing on your shoulder as well.
Who are you still be talking?
Is that the crow talking? Are you?
You never know.
Is that £1 million each? Is that £1 million for you and £1 million for the crow?
I would say so. Robert Redford, he was in All the President's Men.
Yes.
Now that is a good movie.
That
if you've
was
not
good.
Seen
I don't
that.
Know
and
if
it's him and my mate. It's him and my mate Dustin in that.
Yes, it is your mate Dustin.
Yes.
Dustin on
Dusty
something else
you know
the other
him.
Day. What made me think of you? I saw him in something. He was. Oh, he was talking about... Oh, let me think. I'll come back.
Have a think and come back to us. Yeah.
What would have been your favourite Robert Redford film then?
I mean, that's the one for me, because I watched it again a year or two ago, and I thought that is such a good film, because it's not a documentary, but it's factual, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the way that they uncovered sort of Nixon's ne'er-do-well doings and nefarious activities was absolutely bloody great.
Yeah. It's a bit of a history lesson as well.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yours was the way we were.
Mm-hmm. Out of Africa.
Actually, the other day, I watched 3 Days of the Condor, which was also a fabulous film. I also love All the President's Men. However, you can't go beyond Butch Cassidy and the Sundance
Kid. That's
right up there, my favourite films of all time.
I haven't seen that for ages, so I might re-watch that.
Just a brilliant
20 years,
film.
Or maybe
just a brilliant film. That's one of my top two or three favourite films.
I remember the ending.
Yeah, it didn't end well.
No.
I always remember my mum used to walk out. She said, I'm not watching anymore.
It's only a film.
You're thinking, it's not real. Well, it's kind of real, but they were out.
I felt like that at the end of A Star Is Born. That I felt so upset about at the end. I can't watch the end of it now. It just made me so sad.
Pan out like you expected.
No.
Can't remember the end of it.
What, the previous?
Bradley Cooper. I meant the
one recently. I've seen the previous two.
I hadn't really remembered that ending.
This is going to happen here. I used to say that to the girls all the time. Why are you watching Titanic again? Because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Has anyone watched on the subject of that? Has anyone watched The Rosies? You know, the new film out?
No, I've tried to.
Oh, because the ending of that is really good.
I want to see that. Really, Olivia Colman.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think so. John, like, my husband didn't even want to go to it because he's like, oh, it's a bit of a girly film. But actually, we both laughed out loud. It was really good. The sexual chemistry between him, Olivia Colman, and Benedict Cumberbatch is really good. Is that a remake
of War of the Roses?
Yes, it is.
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, no, I think it's way better than that.
Oh, okay, that's good.
For me personally.
Because they had two really big stars. You thought, this should be great. And I remember watching that at the time.
I haven't seen it, but my mum went to see it and I said, how was it? She said, it didn't deserve the 5 stars that The Guardian gave it. There's quite a lot of swearing and stuff.
Maybe your mum.
Your mum is a Mrs. McCarthy.
Oh, not really easy to please, my mum.
She
good
is.
Good for her.
Good for her. But yes, and I don't know. Well, obviously, I'm sure some other people have died, but obviously they're nowhere near as famous as Robert Redford.
So we're only doing one.
Well, he's just that big, isn't he?
Has he overshadowed all other deaths?
I think journalist and reporter and TV man John Stapleton died.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
I liked him.
Yeah, he was really
but
lovely.
But he's not Robert Redford.
No, he's not.
No, would you pay him £1 million to go to bed with John
Stapleton?
No,
I wouldn't go with him for anything, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
He was on Watchdog, which I think Sheena should say for us.
Watchdog.
That's it. Because his wife was on it. She was Scottish.
Oh, she's Scottish.
And she used to say, watchdog.
Watchdog. She was a sister of a steward, I remember. He used to tell us all her little quips and,
What was her name?
Lynn Falls. Falls Woods.
Yeah, that was it. But that's the thing about this. But how we've suddenly ended up on Lynn's Falkwood. How's she going? This is just the amount of crap that we can manage to come up
Scottish.
With in the
that's
first
why.
11 and a half minutes.
The other word I always get Scottish people to say is murder.
Murder.
Do you know, I had to do that this weekend. I was with some people and they were saying, say murder, and they were laughing.
And turkey.
That's racist.
Turkey.
It is a bit racist.
That's more racist than I just was.
Tortoise is the one I like because people down south say tortoise. I don't get that. It's a tortoise.
I would never
say
that.
What about people who say Skellington? That's wrong.
Yeah,
that's bloody wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I don't like
Skellington,
that.
Please.
How have we ended up on this?
I don't know.
So what are we then talking about?
Basically, just going back to that, you'd have been great on Taggart.
Taggart, that would be perfect for me. Taggart.
It's a mother with Taggart.
Sheena's going to be our guest accent, isn't she?
Yeah, anyone who wants Scottish interpretation is going to go mad.
My family don't even think I speak Scottish. I went on Bargain Hunt and...
Did you? Yeah, I love that.
And they hated the fact that I was posh. They said, oh, you've completely changed your accent. And I said, no, I haven't. I'm just trying to... speak well on TV.
I'm sorry, you can't just throw in the word bargain hunt and then just look as if it's some sort of loose thing.
Exactly.
I just happened to go on bargain hunt. Tell us the bargain hunt experience.
Oh, well, what's to tell, really? I went with my friend who used to fly as well. And, we even got a golden gavel, even though we weren't meant to because we didn't get three.
So how did that happen?
You just go online and look it up and... They ask you a few questions.
No. How did you get the Golden Gavel if you didn't get three profits?
Oh, because it's a Welsh production crew and they liked us so much that they said, because we were all really friendly and everything, they actually gave us a gavel of behind, you know, doors. Oh.
Importantly, who did you meet on that show who was famous, who is a massive cock?
Oh.
Or were they all lovely?
To be honest, they were all lovely.
Were they?
She says with her fingers crossed.
With her fingers crossed. Oh, you tell us
later. We had Raj and he was all right. Uh-huh. He was good.
Yeah.
But how did you get on in the first place? Did you have to apply? Or did you
just apply and you need a wee funny story. And you go for a kind of screen test with a big bunch of people.
Yeah.
And then they choose just a few of you.
And you got the gig. Get you.
But then we went quite shy when the actual thing came to in the screen show thing. We were full of life, and then when it came to, we were a bit more trying to be all, you know.
It must be quite hard to tell. When somebody expects you to be wacky on demand.
Yeah, that must be hard.
Yeah,
not doing that. I was just. I'm sorry. He's a really grumpy, miserable southern bastard. Just play the fucking quiz. I don't care. Fantastic. So we're thinking a quick bit before we hit the first break. Who's it been a very, very bad week for? Our friends, listeners of the show, big fans, Fergie and Andy.
I was going to say, that's true. Sarah Ferguson, yesterday, the charities are dropping like flies.
Well, I think it's about 9 or 10 now, isn't it? So she's not doing well.
It's like your husband 5 or 6 years later.
Yeah,
I know.
So really blown it. And did you see when they came out of the funeral as well and Prince Andrew was trying to talk to William and William was just not engaging?
Yeah.
Can I do a Prince Andrew impression?
Yeah, go on.
It was just a simple shooting party. Thank you.
Is that your impression of like half Prince Andrew, half Sean Connery?
Yeah, that's true.
That's my impression of the biggest car crash interview that you could ever wish to see. Honestly, if you want to piss yourself laughing for 40 minutes, go back and watch that
YouTube,
excellent
watch
interview.
It back again.
I don't think I've actually ever seen it.
Have you not? No, because we are... Treat yourself. Yeah. You must watch it. See a man die 50,000 times.
See, I find that very uncomfortable, though.
I had to watch it in two segments. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, I find it very uncomfortable.
One go.
Yeah,
I really did struggle to what I'm thinking. It was almost like with the first question.
Yeah.
Do you really regret meeting Epstein? Well, I'm not thinking, what?
Yeah, I know.
Answer to that, you think, fuck, is clearly, yes, I do regret meeting him.
And he just kept
digging a hole and just kept jumping in it and just...
Oh, God. Do you remember that she gets to the end of the interview and she has to fulfil her obligation by talking about his actual charities, right? Yeah. And he's so discombobulated that he can't actually even get his words out or describe what his own charity does.
But he thought he'd done well. I thought that went very well.
What sort of lack of self-awareness do you need to have to do something like that and think you were brilliant?
I think he is as thick as...
Can I just say something about him? Do you know what really freaks me out the most about him? Is, you know, he has like a whole bunch of like 25 teddies on his bed.
Oh, yeah.
And whoever puts them has to put them exactly in the right order every morning. Yeah. Otherwise, he gets really cross. And
teddies.
I know that.
He has a load of teddies on his bed from places all over the world.
Childish, horrible...
Yeah,
it's weird.
And he has massive pops at the staff if they don't get the layout right. I mean, what sort of human being are you? Please.
Well, my dad used to work at the palace, go in and have to do a bit of work, and he used to talk to the staff and everything. They all said Prince Edward was lovely, and they said others. And my dad actually, because his name is Edward Prince, and he had a name badge, they put the last name first, so his badge said Prince Edward.
Oh,
so that was
it?
Always a bit of a novelty.
That's a classic.
That's brilliant.
He said that they all, none of them, were very complimentary about Andrew at all.
But it's her level of debt. If you read this, it's her level of debt.
Don't they live near you? Don't they?
Yeah, they do. In fact, Edward and Sophie lives in Bagshot. I live in Bagshot.
Yeah, but I thought Andrew and Faye were...
Oh, well, they're up in Windsor, so they're further up. Yeah, they used to live in Sunningdale, but they've moved.
It's all a bit weird, that whole divorce, though. You never really found out what happened there, did you?
Initially, her debt, the amount of money she gets into debt is just astronomical. So the first up... The palace paid it off, which is rumoured to be about £2.5 million back in the early 90s.
Mm.
So obviously they reckon, she's got some stories. We better not get these coming out. So they pay the debts off. Then, of course, it comes out. And this stuff that's all come out with Epstein, she had to borrow £15,000 off Epstein to pay two of her staff members who were going to leave or whatever. But they think that she was in the hock to Epstein for about £2 million, which has just come out today. and the Mr. Toe Sucking financial advisor.
Oh, yes. Do you remember that?
He estimated that in the early 90s, her yearly costs were £850,000 a year to live her life without any money coming in. You know, Budgie the helicopter is not bringing in that sort of cash.
Budgie the helicopter.
So did she get anything from the divorce settlement? Did she
imagine she probably got something.
Yeah.
But she'll just spend it. I mean, apparently her spending is horrific. And she's just always in debt. She owed one of her friends $95,000 because she wanted to take a holiday.
Really?
Can you imagine coming up to me and saying, listen, I want to go on holiday. Can you lend us $95,000?
Incredible, eh?
Where the bloody hell are you going on holiday for that?
Yeah. And we haven't really been playing about what Fergie actually did, which has caused all this furore, which is that she, at the same time as she was saying in public that she had rejected Epstein and had nothing more to do with him, subsequent to that, wrote to him, calling him her dearest friend, yeah, and apologising for having to slag him off in public, saying that actually she thought he was a lovely human being and all of this. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not surprising all the charities have rejected her. And I think the new book is called Entitled, which sums up the two of them rather perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Totally, yeah. They're so entitled. I mean, for the royal family, whether you like the royal family or not, they are just the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes,
they the rest of them, they just think, what?
What on
and
earth?
And obviously with this stuff with these Epstein files, I mean, they're just drip feeding stuff bit by bit, aren't they? So yeah. What is to come out in the next few weeks? Oh, excellent. Love
brace
it.
Yourself.
Absolutely love it. So on that fabulous note, we're a bit of the way in. So we'll go for our first break and we'll see you in a minute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I did the introduction to this one. thank
That's
you very
Colin
much,
the Crow.
Colin.
Sorry about that.
Now, in this segment, we've just been talking about what things we like and dislike.
Yes.
So just we haven't had any preparation, Sheena or I. So we're going to wing it a bit. So are we going to go with dislikes first or likes?
You choose because you're the head honcho.
I'm going to go with dislikes.
Dislikes.
And my first one.
Go.
Is all the introduction of all the pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin this, pumpkin
God,
that.
They're like vomit.
Oh, God, I can't bear it. And I know a lot of people like it, but it's nonsense, in my opinion.
It's very American, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And it's all like, then autumn's coming and everybody wants to cozy up. No, I want to keep summer and I want the sunshine and I don't want to go in. I mean, I like the clothing. I like the boots and all that sort of stuff. But the pumpkin stuff.
I'm totally with you on these dressed up coffees because they got more calories than a Sunday roast.
Yeah, no.
And like they're just ridiculous.
That's worrying for kids, all those calories. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan.
That's
so
a good dislike.
That's
I like
my first
that.
Dislike. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to slightly push on with your slightly dislikes.
Okay.
I was going through the radio station yesterday driving down to Brighton, and on the 1st of September, one of the radio stations starts Christmas songs.
Oh.
1st September. It's not even pushed to November
that's
now.
That's scary.
Wow. Like, oh, I need to pulled off the road.
I know, somebody said, oh, there's how many Mondays till Christmas or something?
It's not many,
it's not many.
I know.
Someone I don't want to hear all of that.
Someone said to me yesterday, it's 191 days till Christmas.
Oh, that feels better.
So that must make
better.
It 190 now.
That feels better
than
to me.
Like,
yeah, but who would know that?
People that have already wrapped the presents.
I know. The people who do the early shopping, they drive me mad.
They do.
You see people walking up the road with their big rolls of wrapping paper, like in the middle of October. Get a life.
Right, next dislike. Come on, keep it snappy.
All right, mine is flags. I've just been up to London.
Oh, I'm with you on this.
And I do feel a little bit sorry, because being Scottish, if you're Scottish, I'm Irish as well, Irish Welsh, you can put a flag up and it's got no connotations. But when it's an English flag, it's a different ballgame altogether.
It's been completely
hijacked.
Yeah, they
should have been doing it a long time ago and it would have been fine.
So I didn't even like when I used to go to America, and you know, a lot of Americans put up flags, because I feel it's almost like a symbol saying, oh, look at me, I'm superior. I just don't like it.
See, I didn't feel that when I lived there. I used to think it was quite... They are very patriotic. They are very much. And I used to quite like that. Yeah. I mean, I know recent events and everything, it's all gone a bit to pot. But yeah. I didn't mind. And when we were in Sweden as well, they've all got the flags out. Yeah. And I love that.
But there's nothing negative. But there's nothing negative connotations about that. They're just very proud. And it's a done thing to have a flag and a Swedish flag flying in your front garden.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
It's lovely.
But even in Scotland, and, you know, it's okay. I do feel quite sorry for English people, because it feels like if you put one up in England, people will all, especially Scottish, Irish and Welsh, will be on you. They'll be, you know, because they love to hate the English. Whereas the English wouldn't mind if the Scots put it up, or it's a funny old thing.
Yeah,
but I don't like it now because of the far right. Obviously, I just think
in the roundabouts, there's a roundabout.
I know. Yeah. And all this horrible graffiti.
Oh, it's just a lot of hate. I don't like it.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it is horrible. Yeah. And in fact, I was in East Grinstead the other day. I was taking my mother-in-law for her cataract operation, and I had to go and pick up some stuff at Waitrose, and I needed to turn around, and there was a guy outside a house, and he, middle of the day, with a massive big flag on it, obviously waiting for his delivery, and the guy turned up, you know, obviously he wasn't white, and he delivered his food, and he's working during the day, and I think the irony of that, he's come and he's delivering his food to this guy who's got massive flag up. So I thought that was pretty awful.
My dislike is, unfortunately, I don't want to bash too much into the realms of sport. I'll keep it brief. Football supporters, basically, and football supporters of my team. There was a big demonstration outside the London Stadium at West Ham on Saturday, moaning about the owners, and it's just like...
You're joking, really?
Yeah, because it's just like... And just having to listen to some of these people, generally, there is a bit of, you know, if you're... A lot of football fans are morons, including me. But... Just going on, just have absolutely no insight to A, how a business runs, and B, how much money these people put into it. I don't know how many other people, you know, say, for example, if West Ham, I don't know, 1 or 2 billion, if someone they were to sell, how many other billionaires are going to come in and treat them any nicer than the ones they've got already?
But to a know-nothing like me, who are the owners?
Well, it's old, is David Sullivan, the porn baron.
Really?
Yeah, the old, yes. Yes, okay. Good old Dave. And Karen Brady, Miss Apprentice.
Lady
Brady.
Have you seen her recently?
She does look different.
She looks totally different.
Yeah, well, no, she seems to have gone back to how she looks again now.
Oh, is she?
Yes, if you've seen pictures of her.
She's had it reversed.
Well, either that or she's had a couple of glasses of liquid cake and it's all just gone back on again.
She was looking really hot, but she was.
What do you think she was? Yeah. She was ridiculously
skinny.
Well, I think
she was quite
skinny.
Young and stuff, but she didn't have that sort of warmth to her. Because
I just thought the pictures looked like they were massively edited. And she didn't have a waist. But no, the pictures on Saturday looks like she's just gone back to Lady Brady.
Too many
and that's
pies.
Basically
it. Yeah.
She's a bright girl. She's done really well for herself, but she just doesn't get football supporters at all. She sits here and just says, "Don't say anything, Karen, for God's sake. You're just going to make it worse." Yeah. But anyway, that's my dislike. My own football supporters.
Fair enough. My dislike, it seems a bit pathetic now because you've all come up with genuinely sort of solid things. But my dislike is the That's Entertainment podcast. It's the one with Marina Hyde and Richard Osman in it. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I've listened to it a couple of times.
Never have you come across two more smug, self-satisfied people in all your life.
Sanctimonious is the word.
Yes,
oh, my
absolutely.
Life.
Really? These are two people who are so full of themselves, who have so obviously made it in life, that you listen to them blathering on, it's quite sickening.
It's very lovey-dom, isn't
they
it?
They adore themselves. Yeah.
But he wasn't. I went to school with him.
Steady Martin.
His mum was my primary school teacher, and she lives in the retirement home just near us where the whole film and his book and everything was set. And he was actually very, very nice. So I'm going to have to listen to that. Because
I'm sure that's true. Perhaps I'm slagging it off because remember I said Marina Hyde slagged me off last week.
She did.
So I've now got it in for her.
There you go.
Okay, but let me just give you one example. So they were taking in sort of listener questions on this particular one I watched, and someone had a query about tipping points. Okay, and they were going to answer this query, but because they're so famous, not only were they going to answer the query, but they were going to get Ben Shepherd, who hosts Tipping Point, to do a live link from the studio to answer the question in person, that's how famous they are.
Oh my goodness,
it's sickening.
Oh, I'll have to have a listen.
Are you sure not a little bit jealous because we're not at that stage yet?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Well, you can speak for yourself then, Shane. I think you'll find it on Wikipedia and all that.
Can I just say can I just say thank you for letting me get that off my chest? It's so
I'm
much cheaper than
better.
Therapy.
I'll have to listen to that now.
Yeah, I'm going to have yeah, a listen. Intrigued. Yeah,
I have been listening to more podcasts recently. I've just said I've listened to the songs on my Spotify list so many times. I need to do podcasts.
Well, Sheena and I were saying what we love listening to Desert Island Discs.
Yeah, I love,
I love that show.
Walking the dog, I have done it
all the way hundreds of on Monday on Saturday.
Alcoholics between you.
No, I love a bit of radio ball.
Kirsty Young has got the loveliest voice in I've ever heard.
She does have a lovely voice, but we listened to it on our way back from Bournemouth on Saturday.
But it's lovely hearing the tracks because I've picked up so many songs to put on my playlist.
Oh,
and a few piano songs that I now play have come up on that show as well. So I love
really
it.
I really love that.
You hear songs from your childhood as well that you hadn't heard for years.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we get on to the positive? And we'll do our likes.
Well, I've got a bit of a brag to come up with this time. So my very good friend has invited me to Paris to the Paris Fashion Show. To the Chanel.
Chanel. Wicked.
Paris Fashion Show. So what I really like is that I have Stuart's wife who has Chanel clothing that I can borrow. So that's
lovely.
What I'm really liking, because she's letting me have a bit of a dive into her wardrobe.
Lonely, and I've been you're so stylish and cool. You're going to fit right in.
Stop you.
Yeah, but will those jackets fit, Ilona, or will they be too small?
But it might be a bit of a squeeze.
Such a knob. So, and I'm loving the online shopping panic that I'm doing. I'm just doing a lot of online because I'm looking at the new clothes. So I am enjoying that.
Oh,
so,
and you're going with your friend.
I'm going with my friend. She's flying in from America, and I'm getting the Eurostar. So, and it's a bit of a lot of pressure because that you get the welcome drinks the day we arrive, and then you have the actual show the next day, and then the cocktail party, and then the next day then they have a private viewing and shopping, which I honestly feel like her assistant. I just need a little clipboard to
honestly,
follow her around with.
Loni's going to be hammered. Welcome drinks and then the cocktail party. She'll be under the table.
Exactly,
there is that.
She's giving you a no puke on her jacket guarantee.
I was going to say, are you sure she wants to
borrow them? I'm slightly concerned about borrowing Jackie's clothes because she has got some beautiful stuff and she's been very lovely to let me borrow them. So I mustn't
them. As long as you don't lose a sequin off one of her favourites.
Yeah, throw up or something on them. So I'm going to be very careful.
That is
that is my big like.
That's a great like.
Because I'm excited.
And you're going to have to report back.
I know.
How exciting.
Lovely.
So I'm not eating for 2 weeks anyway to get into some of the stuff.
2 weeks? You should have started 6 months ago, love.
Yeah, right on.
Savage.
I know.
Savage.
Welcome, Sheena. We like you.
We've never been able to be that rude.
It's
we're not
a good
on public
job,
anyway.
I know her.
It's super, isn't it?
Yeah. So what's your dislike, Sheena?
It's a like.
Well, my like is a bit sad. My like is Married at First Sight, which started on Sunday. I am so enjoying
Sheena.
It.
Thank you. Welcome to the podcast that we can talk about this sort of stuff.
I've tried
Married
not to watch
sight.
It for the last four seasons because once I start, you could ask me to go to the Queen's for supper and I would say no, I can't because Married at First Sight's on.
Yeah,
I get really invested in it.
I do too. And we're only two episodes in,
and already
we?
I feel quite sad because one of the chaps, a large chap, is paired or married together with a lovely Scottish girl who sadly does not, she's totally got the ick with him, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has.
And
yeah.
it's quite sad. At times.
It is sad. But that's
intriguing.
That's our world.
I've not seen this show, but what sort of idiot would marry someone on first meeting? I mean, I realise they're doing it for the show, but I mean, tell us more.
Well, they've just been unlucky in relationships and in love before, so they've asked the experts to find somebody for them.
Experts.
Oh, exactly.
For instance, though, this Scottish girl, she really loves the bad boy. She loves covered in tattoos and as if he's just come out of prison. She loves that real rough look, and they put her with this guy who is the sweetest, loveliest, and he's just too
nice. You just know she's never going to fancy
him. So they're trying to change what the pattern has been in the past where they've been unsuccessful with relationships. So, and then they so what they do is they marry and then they go on honeymoon.
Do they
and
officially
then,
marry?
No.
That's a good
at the
thing.
End yeah. they do, well, they have if a commitment
they can marry at the end.
If they want to. Yeah. But then you see then all the couples come together for dinner parties and then they have questions.
Oh, gosh, it's they slag each other
they
off.
Just, yeah. It's just a big fight.
It's not very nice, to be honest.
No, but it's very enjoyable
very few
to watch.
Actually end up together. No. I think it's more, you know, they try and engineer it to
it is all very edited.
I mean, it's telly, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? They don't really give a shit about the contestants. They just want it to kick off a little bit.
But I think it could probably really damage some people. That's why I don't like about it.
I haven't. I started watching it, but then I fell asleep, which is stuff I do quite regularly now. Did you watch, it's on Netflix, about the Biggest Loser in America?
It's about weight loss.
Oh, the weight loss one.
The weight loss one.
No, I looked at that.
It's exactly what you've just been talking about.
Yeah, that's
about
really
how they set them up and then they basically go on this and they do that and they don't give a shit about
it. No, they don't give them any counselling at the end.
It's all for television. It's all just for thing. And if this may cause you to have enormous issues down the line, I couldn't give a monkey's. So it's just all about ratings. But on the other hand, if you know you're going on, you've got to
surely be smart
enough to work out that you are a guinea pig and you're going to be played.
But I think the people that go on it tend to be a little bit sad anyway.
Yes.
You know, so it's they're more vulnerable.
Yes,
I would say.
They're so vulnerable. So some kind of these
people. Do you ever watch £600 Life?
I do not.
What is that, lady? That sounds really niche. What's it on?
Massive. It's on TLC.
TLC. I've never even heard of TLC.
This is her life.
Come on, lady.
If ladies ever going to get a tattoo, she's going to get a tattoo of the TLC logo on her arm.
The 90 Day Fiance or my £600 Life.
So, Loney, it's like the Biggest Loser, except they're fatter.
They're really fat. And they're all desperately trying to get a gastric band surgery, but it's their journey to be able to lose the weight for them to agree to do the surgery. Honestly, it's very good watching. But anyway, I've just got an announcement because they've announced Dickie Bird has died, age 92.
Oh, I love Dickie Bird.
Hold the front page, snuffed it.
He's quite young to have snuffed it. He's on Desert. 92.
He's very old.
His voice.
So unbelievably famous
for
an umpire.
Loved
You wouldn't want to get...
Just the voice and the warmth. Just a gorgeous
just
man.
Just umpire, just... Gruff,
so could you name any cricket umpire now? I couldn't.
No.
Because those were some of the players legendary, weren't they?
You wouldn't want to get the finger off Dickie Bird, would you?
Dearie me. So, yeah, at least that got us off my terrible TV view.
Oh, no, that's the reason you're here, lovey. That's what got you the gig in the first place.
So whose like is it?
It's my like.
God,
and it's the return of Only Murders in the Building.
What's that about?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, God, I love it. It's just so predictable, but it's just, like I said, it's like a nice blanket. To wear. It's a murder mystery. It's on about season 5 now. It's written by Steve Martin and it's about a very famous building in New York called the Arconia, and it's with Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez.
A drama.
And I love Steve Martin.
Oh yeah, and they basically solve there's always a murder in the building and they end up doing a podcast, clearly not as good as ours. and they basically solve the murder within the series. So it's on season 5, but it's good because it's just releasing it old school week by week.
And is he funny in it?
It is funny. And Martin Short's a little bit annoying, but I just love it. It's come back and I just love
that's
watching it.
You mentioned it before.
Yeah,
I
started watching it on a plane and you think, it's just non-brain taxing, really great.
Good give that a go for sure.
Only Murders in the Building. It's
Only
a winner.
Murders. What's it on?
Disney.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. I love all this liking. It's giving me a warm, fluffy feeling.
Oh, that's good. What's your like?
My like, right, is a movie I saw yesterday in the cinema, Downton Abbey, the finale.
Oh,
Now, gosh, you have to watch the telly series to be even slightly interested in this movie, okay? But honestly, I did watch it and it was so well done. Hilarious, full of one-liners. I mean, obviously brilliantly overacted throughout.
Love it.
But, you know, well-written, music is lovely.
Oh, I'm going to have to go and see that.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
I can't
and
believe
a,
you haven't
a
seen
lovely
it.
Sort of fitting farewell to Maggie Smith, who's clearly not in it because she's popped her clogs.
Yeah.
But they kind of incorporate her and have little flashbacks with her sashaying on the dance floor, and there's a portrait up of her which they close in on in soft focus.
Oh, great.
Honestly, it's really done that in kind of really a well nice done. Way. I mean, don't expect sort of 5-star reviews from The Guardian or anything like that, but I really enjoyed it. Just lost in fantasy land, in costume drama world for an hour and a half, 2 hours. It was lovely. I loved it.
Great.
And you came out feeling all...
fluffy. Right, fluffy,
fuzzy.
I felt.
Fluffied up.
Yeah.
I actually went there the other day.
Did you? I've also been there.
I got friends of ours live just around the corner,
it's
and there was
hard.
A local cricket match on the ground. So
what's
we went to watch the match.
What's it called, actually?
It's a
National Trust property.
Isn't it High Clear?
Yes.
High
Clear. High Clear.
That's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so once the game had finished, we drove off and we got as close as you could get.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jackie took a couple of photos. But it's just obviously like over the rolling hills and Deeping Dales and all that sort of stuff.
My sister went
enormous.
With her daughter-in-law, because it's very hard to get tickets to actually do the tour. They sell out pretty quickly. And my sister went with her daughter-in-law, and I think they met the lady of the manor sort of thing. She was walking outside by the gift shop and that, and she was chatting to them all. I think she was signing books and that. So she loved it. Basically, very nice up there.
And is Michelle Dockery in it?
She's pregnant, isn't
she's
she?
She's pregnant, isn't she?
Oh.
She's...
But what is she in it?
She's Lady Mary.
Oh, Lady Mary.
I like her from The Gentleman. Have you seen The
Gentleman? Oh, I have. Yes, yeah, she was good in that. Totally different character.
Totally different character.
Oh, I tell you what I have really enjoyed recently, AJ and I watching Moblands. Oh. I know you talked about it. I really like it. Tom Hardy, though. Oh,
I can understand. Because obviously, we've known each other for years. And obviously, I've been built with a girl head on. So I can understand where the girls come from. You think, I can clearly understand why you fancy the arse of Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
If you like him sort of rough and ready, he's...
Oh, beautiful.
But Piers Brosnan and Helen Mirren's accents, fuck me, they're so bad. Especially for her, for such a brilliant actress. Her accents, and she just does my head in.
I couldn't stand her. I thought he did much better. I didn't mind him. The accents were horrific. But
his
sort of
accent is so
that.
Bad.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of hers anyway, to be honest. I don't really like Helen Mirren.
I really like her.
Oh, I like Helen Mirren and that sort of stuff. But, oh my God, she's...
It's annoying. But it's good. It was good.
Yeah.
Sort of bingeable.
And I just love the fact that the bloke who plays the rival... He just plays the same part in every single thing, film or whatever. Jeff Bell, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's just the same character. You see him come along, think, because he's in only Thursday...
Murder Club,
isn't he? Yeah. He's in that. You think, gosh, I wonder what role Jeff Bell's going to play. Is he going to probably play villain stroke gangster? I wonder. what are the chances? Oh, yes, he is. Yeah, so there was this. Okay, you enjoyed
it? Yeah, I did quite enjoy that.
Yeah. Okay, how far are you through?
I've finished. I thought
finished
the ending
it.
Was a little bit disappointing.
Clearly. Oh, I thought it was quite clever, actually.
Oh, did you?
Oh, quite clever.
That probably passed Aluna by.
Shut your face.
She probably fallen asleep with a glass of liquid cake in one hand and a Twix in another.
We finished it after I was very traumatised at dropping my youngest son at university. So we did the last episode when I came back. So I wasn't focused completely because I was
on that subject was
devastated.
as bad as the previous one?
It actually wasn't as bad because I think the way we did it with Henry was awful. He came to the car park and then we left him. We drove away leaving us. So that was awful. But Rory was all set up and we left him in the hall. But it was fine. But then he had a bit of a disaster because he went out. God love him. He went out. He was nervous. He went out with his flatmates. They were all having a bit of a meet in the kitchen to sort of get to know each other. And then eight of them in the flat, four of them decided to go out for drinks. And then I called him the next morning about 11 and he woke up. It was like something out of The Hangover. He said, "Mum, the last thing I remember was being..." I hope he doesn't mind me telling this, but...
It's too late now.
It's too late.
You thought it's too late.
You can't stop now. Yeah, so carry on.
He remembered being in a bar and next thing he woke up totally naked, pee in his room, puke in his room, puke on his clothes, pee on his clothes, and has no recollection of how he got home or why he was naked. So he was like, no. And then he was mortified all day because he doesn't know his flatmates.
We can't repeat what Alona actually asked him. But
no, don't. Because I was worried, you know. I said, have you been roofied? Because he was totally blank. He doesn't know how he got to bed. He doesn't know. And he didn't know one person. So it is a bit worrying.
Dad saw walking
but
around.
That's what I asked him.
The number
been
of...
Been able to sit down for a while. Have you enjoyed your first 24 hours at university?
So I was ready to get in the car and go back
not
down.
Not virgin anymore.
Stop it.
Talking of having your drink spiked, right, the number of calls I used to go out to on the ambulance where people had claimed to have had their drinks spiked. Okay, I know it's a thing and it does happen, but in the vast majority of cases, they've gone out on an empty stomach, having pre-drunk at home, and then proceeded to drink ridiculous amounts in the bar, fall over stone cold drunk, and they're surprised about it. And in no way, shape, or form have they had their drinks spiked. You know, so it was just a common claim amongst drunk patients.
He wouldn't go out of his room all day. He was felt like death anyway. So, and he wouldn't go and get anything to eat. So I was so worried about him on the Sunday. But I spoke to him last night, didn't I? And he'd left his room. He tidied up. He was going to work out the washing machine for all his clothes and shoes and everything. And so, yeah. He's settled in perfectly.
That's a great start.
He's going to be fine.
And he's not even had Freshers Week yet.
No.
Well, that's going to be a whole new drunk experience for him, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
And now Henry's going back tomorrow because he wasn't able to get a placement in the end. So he's going back. So I'm going to be an empty nester after tomorrow.
Is that a like or a don't like? Being an empty nester.
Well, at the moment it's a don't like, but I feel like maybe I could get used to it. I'll see. Sheena's been talking me through it. She heard too have been and gone. So
I think was that quite a nice thing, like don't like, because it's a nice little sort of talking point. I like doing don't like first, get the negative over, get your therapy done, and then have the likes
afterwards,
and then bring on the joy, as you say. Yeah,
we're all smiling.
There we go.
So what have we got on next then?
Well. It's all about you.
Oh, no.
It's all about you. However, before we talk about you, we're going to talk about me again. We're not actually. My wife came back from America this morning. She's been in America for a couple of weeks.
Saw that. Looked lovely.
And she bought me something. It's very hard to, obviously, this is obviously not a visual show, but she has bought me a chocolate bar. And the chocolate bar is a picture of the 47th President of the United States of America.
Your favourite, Sheena.
My favourite. Orange man, Donald Trump himself.
What a wanker.
Who said he would like to don't sit on the fence here. He doesn't look too orange.
Doesn't actually.
He doesn't
what
look
is
too
with
orange.
The makeup? So I mean, seriously, I that know. Orange line.
Yes.
Now, this is obviously, this I think is
a long time
business
ago.
Genius. Because if you have these in your Hudson News at the airport for your last impulse purchases, you're going to sell billions of these because people are either going to say, because obviously if you're a right-wing arse and you like him, you're going to buy it for someone. But the majority of people certainly coming back over here who can't stand him, it's a great present. Mm. There he goes, a bar of chocolate from Donald.
Yeah.
So that is business genius. I mean, whether he's taking any money out of it, God only knows. But I got that this morning. I'm not sure I can eat it.
It's a very kitschy present. I mean, I hate him quite obviously, but I wouldn't mind if someone wanted to give me that as a little present.
And on the back, you can actually put to and from.
I know, love that. That's clever.
And actually do the things.
That's very Trumpian.
Trumpian. Doesn't contain any paracetamol, obviously.
No, quite obviously not.
Obviously very topical there.
Yeah, that's true.
But no paracetamol in that one, you uninformed moron. So so that's the thing. So we're coming up to second break.
Yeah.
So, well done. We've managed to ramble away through two breaks now. When we come back, Showgirl is going to have a quiz and she's going to show all her fabulous quiz-giving properties.
Now stop it, because I didn't want to do this one. Stop picking it up.
Badgered you for so long.
I know.
Because you didn't want another 1970-inspired music round.
No, I couldn't do another one.
Basically, you've got a quiz and we're looking forward to it when you come back.
Okay.
So we'll see you in a minute. We'll be right back. And we're back for the final segment of Homepots Happy Hour. Whilst we nibble away on the very fine Donald Trump related chocolate,
it's rubbish.
It wasn't good.
It's minging. It's American chocolate.
Chocolate in America is like awful. Said
average
chocolate.
At best.
It's like bleh.
Yeah.
Average chocolate at best. Yeah, they don't do great chocolate.
They do that awful Hershey's.
Oh, Hershey's is average. Very average. Isn't
that, although peanut butter cups are great.
They're quite nice. Yeah. They are quite nice. But yeah, it's like poor man's Cadbury's, really. But anyway, Martin has a little snippet for us before Alona comes in with her boomer of a quiz.
It's a little ditty. There's something that when paramedics see it portrayed on telly, we piss ourselves laughing, right? And it's when you see CPR being done on television programmes, okay? Because it's done in this such a lily-livered, weak way that it doesn't bear any resemblance to what CPR is when you do it for real, okay? Because when you're doing CPR for real, it's a very aggressive intervention, okay? And you have straight elbows and you have your hands on this chest and you're depressing that chest deeply to at least about a third of its depth. When you see it done, even on programs like Holby City, where it's quite accurate medically, but you will see the CPR being done with some nurse with bent elbows, and really they're tickling the chest, and that would not be effective in pumping the heart if it was not working. And you know, it's just something that I kind of enjoy seeing on telly because it's such, you know, obvious
bollocks. Do you look at it and think they're gonna die?
Yes, pretty much.
No chance.
No chance saving them.
Yeah.
I'll be having their shoes.
Pretty much. Which kind of brings me on to the second thing I want to say, which is that I think it's such a shame that people are not taught CPR in school. In Scandinavian countries, at infant school level, they are taught CPR, right? And as a result, the recovery rate of people who have cardiac arrests in public places is that much higher in Scandinavian countries compared to, let's say, the UK, because everyone remembers what they were taught when they were 10, 11 years old, and they are quite happy to jump in on the chest. In this country, people, because they're not familiar, they think they're going to do damage, which you can never do. You know, you can't, you could never do any disbenefit by just jumping in there and start pumping that chest, even if you're not an expert at it, sort of thing, you know. But if no one has a go, then effectively that person will die without that intervention. If someone gets on the chest, it makes, when the paramedics arrive, the likelihood of them restoring that heart rate much more likely. So my plea to people is, if you don't know how to do CPR, pull it up on YouTube, watch a 2-minute video, and if you see Granny down in the high street who's in cardiac arrest, just start pumping that chest with some good gusto.
Do you buy yourself your own Rissassiani?
Oh, I love Rissassiani.
Rissassiani.
Oh, yes. I had a nightmare when we were doing it at the school I worked at in America, though, and I was chewing gum and it dropped into the recess model. You know, and then they were trying to pull it out. And they were so cross with me because it just fell out of my mouth. Because at that time it was doing the breathing. You know, now you don't do the whole...
You don't. That's
the hardest thing to do is, you know, when you have to show how to do the thrust to get something lodged in someone's throat.
Uh-huh.
And they have a model that has a thing in its mouth that spits it out. It's really hard to get that out, isn't it?
I had a thing, because my kids, whose birthday was, will be listening. I had a nightmare about 10, 15 years ago with a crow, clearly with a crow.
Sorry.
I got a big bit of meat or sausage stuck in my throat, and the girls were much younger. And I genuinely thought, shit, I am really in trouble.
Oh, no.
And Lucy was really small. She really panicked. Hannah was pretty cool. And Hannah started whacking my back. And I was like running up and I was whacking myself against the wall to try and get it out. And I'd gone to that stage over about a minute or two or whatever, thinking, shit, this could be the end of it. This is my hour, I might check out. And Hannah just whacked me on the back as I ran a thing and it came up.
Wow.
And
the kids were in tears and I was almost in tears.
Awful.
It was really
sad. That's frightening.
There was one other. I'd done my refresher course at one of the last schools I worked at. And, you know, I'd done Rissassiani and all this, and I'd done all the stuff. So anyway, a day later, I've got Hannah Lucy who's there, and I've got one of Lucy's mates, Leonie, who's with us, and we're in Sainsbury's in Grinstead. And I'm saying to them, we'll go to Sainsbury's, don't ask for a Starbucks. I'm not getting you one, so don't ask for one. Anyway, we go up and queue, and I see a bloke standing, and I thought, my God, he looks dreadful. He looks literally like he's about to die, no pun intended. And then you realise that I think he is. And so I say to the girls, right, you three, here's 20 quid, go to Starbucks. But Yusuf, just go to Starbucks. But you just go to Starbucks. So they pop off to Starbucks, and me and another bloke said, you know, you're okay. Geez, you're all right. And as he's trying to hold on to the impulse purchase on the side, and you think, right, so immediately phone 999, and the best words ever was someone walks up, she said, I'm a doctor, let me do it. And I was like,
oh, thank God.
Oh, thank God for that. Because I'm thinking, Christ, Rassassiani, here we go.
And was he choking?
His time was up.
Really?
Yes. And he did die. And he did die in Sainsbury's.
Oh, that's sad.
And I spoke to the doctor, and she said, it literally just lights out, one of those lights out moments. He stuttered a bit and then everything went off.
No. I was like, was he in that special aisle that you used to like in Sainsbury's?
Oh, yeah. Another one.
Why do you always have to bring it back to buzzy, fuzzy things?
Martin, I think you need to take your little and go into schools and do a Jamie Oliver. Yeah.
Do you think so? Oh,
yeah,
make that your mission in life.
Yeah, it'd be great. I agree with you.
Yeah. No, it should be. We're terribly. I think in all the years I worked at school, one of the, apart from actually what you did as a job, I'm just so pleased that I never had to deal with an absolute nightmare. And that's, you think, well, actually, it's one of the things I was most pleased about, because to have to actually deal with it and work it out is... So, yeah, no, it is quite tricky.
When you start as a paramedic, you absolutely crap yourself when you first go to cardiac arrest. But as they told us in paramedic school, you know, they said, when you're called to these patients, they're dead already. So what's the worst that can happen? Really, there's nothing worse that can happen apart from you work on them and get them back. Yeah. And that's, you know, the joy of the job is that can happen in 15% to 20% of cases, sort of thing. But it was quite reassuring to have those words spoke to you that you can't do any harm. That's They're dead so already. True. You're giving them a chance, you know. And so...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I was watching Ambulance yesterday.
Yeah, it's your favourite programme.
It's when I'm ironing. I always watch Ambulance when I'm ironing.
Yeah.
And I'm going back on the seasons. I've watched the latest, but now I was back on... season 10, and they were doing CPR in the kitchen for this old guy. But then they had a machine that actually went on, and that was doing it.
That's right.
That was amazing.
That's called a Lucas, and the fact is that it's so much more efficient than real people. I mean, when you're delivering CPR, you will try and change the person giving the CPR every 2 to 3 minutes because you get less efficient because it is such a physical thing to do. And not all ambulances carry them, but an advanced paramedic can.
That was him. He came in later.
That's
the
right.
Advanced
They've
paramedic.
Often got red lapels.
Yes. I noticed that.
And have a little question. In the ambulance service, Loni, you know your shit.
Because there's so much stuff you can learn by watching your television.
I know, but don't forget, I actually work for the NHS as well.
But they fit this device and it works on a battery, and it, my God, does it seriously
that's
ever
so clever, bounce around.
Yeah. That's a different kind of machine that you find in Sainsbury's. It's not that one.
Not that one.
But we would love it.
Same effects.
Different things.
Different pulse. But we would love it when that machine turned up, because it really takes it out of you. Resuscitation can be an hour, sometimes up to 2 hours, and if you're constantly delivering CPR for that period of time, you are a sweat bucket, you know, particularly if it's the summer, and suddenly your hero shows up with a device that's going to do that for you. Is a wonder, because you really, not your job is done, there's still plenty to do, but you don't have to concern yourself with, you know, pushing down on that chest. Interesting.
Yeah, it was good. Well, you would lose weight for Paris. You would lose a bit of weight for Paris.
That's it. I just go running around finding somebody.
Why don't you run around Sainsbury's and then you say, excuse me, madam, you look a bit peaky. Why don't you lie down and I'll just give you a bit of...
Yeah.
Because I need to lose a few pounds before I go to Paris. Yeah. I'm not quite sure that's really going to work.
Not really.
Is it quiz time?
Oh boy. Okay.
I'm going to embrace it. Yeah.
Because it was my lovely friend Laura said her and her husband went to the cinema the other day to watch a certain film because it was the anniversary. Can you tell me which film is 50 years old this year? Yes. Good old Jaws. So I thought I would do a Jaws quiz. And now I feel like had I Adrian been here, Spag been here, you and he would have just known it all outright. So, but I wasn't sure about you other two here. So I'm going to try and do it.
Go on.
Okay.
Own it.
Go on, Loney.
Right. Right. What's the name of the island where Jaws takes place? Would you like options?
We want options because I know nothing. Okay. I'll get nil out of 20.
Amity Island, Salem Island, Blair Island, or Hush Island?
I've got a slight inkling, but I've just had a little stab in the dark there. Go on.
Okay.
Carry on.
Right, next one. When Hooper cuts open the shark, what surprising object does he find? A watch, B a high heel, C a license plate, D a whiskey bottle.
I think I know that one.
See, when you have the answers,
yeah, I think I know that one.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Go on.
Okay. Number three, what fear does Chief Brody have? A sharks, B snakes, C fire, D water.
Let me get my next question.
How does Quint get everyone's attention at the town meeting? A, stands up on the table. B, drags his fingernails down a chalkboard. C, shows up staggering drunk. D, blows a horn.
Okay, I think I might know that one.
Number five, what kind of shark do the local fishermen catch that is believed to be the killer?
Sorry, Colin the Crow keeps going off.
A nurse shark, B a mako shark, C a tiger shark, D a thresher shark.
These are hard. And how wrong were they?
Such a long time since I've watched.
Yeah, me too. I haven't seen it for 30 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not that old.
Number six. How does Brody kill the shark? He draws it into shallow waters and suffocates it.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I've forgotten that happened at the end.
Thanks for telling me that one.
Blimey, Loney.
B, he drives a shard of the broken cage deep into its brain. C, he jumps into the water and slits its throat with a hacksaw blade. D, he jams a compressed air tank into its mouth and blows it up by shooting at it.
Oh, that's an easy one. I think I know that one and all.
Number seven, why is Hooper unable to shoot the shark from the safety of the cage? It gets too close, the trigger jams, he drops the gun where the shark rams the cage, the shark never opens its mouth.
Unlike us lot.
Right, number eight, what's the name of Quint's boat? The Mako, the Kurtz, the Orca, the Queen?
Guessing.
I think I know that one.
Next one, number nine. What are the residents about to celebrate? Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, Labor Day weekend, America's bicentennial.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how many questions do you want? I'll do another one. How do Brody and Hooper get back to land? They're picked up by a Coast Guard ship. They're rescued by passing fishermen. They paddle back, hanging onto the floating barrels. They just swim.
I think we should do the full 20, Loney, while we're here. Come on, you've got them there. Let's go.
Number 11. Who played marine biologist Matt Hooper? Dustin Hoffman.
Hoffo. He'd have told me if he'd have done that.
Richard Dreyfuss, Mark Hamill, Donald Sutherland.
Gosh, it's actually all coming back.
The actor, who apparently is...
Have the options.
It's apparently skint, as you like. Apparently, has no money.
Really?
He's absolutely skint. He hasn't got 2 minutes to wrap together. Obviously, he didn't have that in his contract.
Did he?
Yeah, Andy did that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andy,
love that.
Yeah,
that's one of my
favourite.
I like that
movie. He got ill, apparently.
Yeah.
Couldn't pay all his medical bills.
Close Encounters.
Number 12.
Obviously, aliens, they were like, oh, they opened their eyes.
Honestly, great visual there.
We've got into a whole new world.
Right, number 12. Where is Chief Martin Brody from? Amity Island, Chicago, New Orleans, New York City. I've stopped doing ABCD, it's getting on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
13. What scar does Hooper say tops the scar comparing contest? A bite from a moral eel on his arm. Eel on his arm. A bite on his leg from a thresher. A scar on his ribcage from a harpoon. The invisible scar of Mary Ellen Moffat breaking his heart.
Really?
I know, that's,
can't
that's
be four. Can't be four.
14. Who played the shark hunter Quint? John Voight, Robert Duvall, Gene Hackman, Robert Shaw. Guess. Now, AJ had a story about Robert Shaw. Oh, I've just gave the answer.
Oh, thank you, because I put
Hackman.
John Voight.
And I put Gene Hackman.
His excellent. Brother worked with him at Hellman Deutsch, he said, yeah. Anyway,
Lone, you got
I gave you that one.
You got a bit of work to do on this quizzing thing,
know,
yeah?
It's not my bag, really.
Maybe not next time.
Oh, shut your face. On what doomed ship did Quint serve? The Indianapolis, the Hornet, the Macaw, the Oklahoma?
That's
a
good
one. Okay, next one. What line of work is Amity Island's mayor in? He's a banker, a fisherman, a vice principal, or a real estate agent?
Yes.
Yeah, that's.
Which of these is not a sequel to Jaws? Jaws 2, Jaws 3D, Jaws the Revenge, Son of Jaws.
Son of Jaws, I love it.
Yeah.
Nearly there, we're nearly at the end.
Come on, it's going well.
What kind of knot does Quint demand Hooper make to prove his skills? A bowline, a four square, a quick release, a sheep shank.
Sounds a bit rude.
A bit rude.
Yeah.
Oh, God, can you repeat those?
Oh,
I'm only joking.
Oh, Sheena.
Please, no.
I'm not
no.
paying attention.
How many people does the shark kill?
Oh.
5, 6, 7, or 8? Right, last one. What kind of dog do the Brodies have? A beagle, a cocker spaniel, a Labrador, or a schnauzer?
I think I remember that.
I don't remember that, but I think I do.
Right.
I can't believe you've gone through the whole 20 questions without saying the line, I think we're going to need a bigger boat.
Oh, that was the one that was ad lib, wasn't it? He just, that wasn't in a script.
Was it not?
No. Oh, yeah. I should have done that.
Yeah, I love it when that.
But I said it anyway, so it's great.
Thanks. Well, yeah. Nice to know some people can ad lib.
Right. Do you want the answers?
Oh, let's.
Right. Whoever gets the least is a complete loser. Let's go.
Oh, gosh.
I feel in 25.5, we can't put that on a song.
Okay. The name of the island was
Amity
Island. Yes, I got that right. Yes. Happy days.
When they opened the shark, they found...
It's got to be a watch.
Number plate.
A license plate.
No.
Oh, I got that wrong. I thought it was a watch.
What fear does Chief Brody have?
Water.
How does he get everyone's attention at the town meeting?
I think he drags his fingernails.
I remember that.
Oh, we all got that.
That was so piercing.
And what kind of shark is it?
Thresher?
Tiger.
Tiger.
Is it? That was a guess. Lovely, happy days.
How does he kill the shark?
It's the compressed air thing.
Compression, those big tanks.
Shoots the dumbbell in his mouth.
That's it.
So it's the compressed air thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, right. Good.
Why is he unable to shoot the shark from the safety of the cage?
Because he drops the pellet.
Drops the gun and then...
Drops the gun.
He drops the pellet, doesn't he?
I do supremely well.
See, you might.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm no loser.
What's the name of Quint's boat?
The Queen.
The orca.
Oh, I'm thinking of the African Queen. I got that wrong.
Yeah, I put Queen.
Yeah.
Right, wrong film.
What are the residents about to celebrate?
I think it's Labor Day.
4th of July.
Fourth of July.
Get it.
Started
off well as well.
How do Brody and Hooper get back to land?
Pedal.
They pedal on the...
They
pedal back.
On the floating zones.
Yeah, I got that.
So
who played marine biologist?
Richard Dreyfuss. Great actor, I love him.
Where is Chief Brody from?
New York.
I've gone New Orleans.
New York.
New York City.
Yes, I just thought, it's got to be a New York City accent. Quaffy.
What scar does Hooper say tops the scar comparing contest?
The one his girlfriend left.
The invisible scar.
There is it really?
Breaking his
heart. I thought that can't be the right answer.
I'm rubbish.
Yeah.
Oh, we all know who played the shark hunter.
I have no idea. Robert Shaw.
It was.
Who was also a Bond villain.
Was he?
On what doomed ship did Quint serve?
Oklahoma, where the wind comes rushing. Is that the answer?
No.
The Hornet?
The Indianapolis.
Oh, rubbish.
Hmm? What kind of work was the mayor in?
Real estate.
Real estate.
Oh, dear.
Which is not a sequel.
Son of Jaws. Of course it is.
What type of knot was it?
Sheepshank.
Is it?
Yeah.
Got that wrong.
How many people does the shark
kill? It's got to be the most.
I put eight.
It's got to be eight.
I've gone for seven.
Five.
Oh.
Oh, not that bad then.
And number 20, what kind of dog?
Beagle.
Was it a Labrador? Oh, I thought it was a Labrador.
Cocker Spaniel.
Ooh.
Oh, rubbish.
Okay, I haven't done well. 2, 3, 4... 11 out of 20.
Ah, I got 11 as well.
Did you? We're equal losers so far.
Yeah. I got 15 because I'm substantially way more knowledgeable.
Ah, there you are.
Must be because you're younger.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it now.
So that's my quiz.
Well Maybe done.
I thought that was a great quiz, Lonnie.
Well done, Lonnie.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Lovely.
So the clock must be ticking round to going home time.
It is, but
so,
before we go home, can we just say that Alex is here? He's our backroom man. But he's here today.
Lovely
in
to
person,
see you again, Alex.
Absolutely shaking his head with all our crappy missives and storytelling. But
and his lovely dusty pink shirt.
Dusty pink
lovely
shirt.
Lovely to
Looking
see
very
you.
Looking very
Sunday Rider Cup pink shirtish. So thank you, Alex. Good to see you again.
I love that, by the way. Thank you. Thanks for inviting
thank
me.
Thank you so
you
much.
Great.
You
were
fabulous.
Hope I never see you again.
And
but
clearly,
hey,
you're quite right.
Clearly, you're going to get a reinvitation. Clearly, you are.
Oh, yay.
So thank you, everybody. Thank you, listeners. It's time to go and collect your school bags. Make sure you haven't left anything behind on your desks. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Bye.
See you sometime
soon.
See you
later.
Bye.
Later.
Potts Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.